Hey, everybody. We're back for another Bald Move TV podcast, the officially unofficial podcast for all of television. Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, all it's amazing television. We can just cover the whole spectrum of TV in one podcast, but we do it.
That is a claim that would survive any empirical looking into.
Yep.
This week, we had an extra special one. We had episode 308 of The Leftovers, The Book of Nora, episode 308 of Better Call Saul, Slip, episode 308 of Fargo, Who Rules the Land of Denial. And can I say, as a person with like dyslexia, it's so nice that all the episodes finally synced.
Yeah, I just there's something really just nice about
satisfying.
That. I'm glad that Better Call Saul took a week off, because it was constantly, you know, the front runner on the numbering, and I was getting a little annoyed trying to remember, oh, is this 307, 306?
Like, I'm only a couple thousand miles from my car rolling over 222,222 miles. And when
satisfying.
That happens, it's going to, like, full body orgasm.
Right.
Something
you
just
are probably going to crash and die.
It's definite.
Yeah.
I just hope the airbags still work.
This is akin to that, for sure.
Yeah. But we had, it's also an extra special week because it was the series finale of The Leftovers, one of our favorite shows. So the question is, and so like you got to see the book of Nora, series finale of The Leftovers. Better Call Saul, Slip, where Jimmy slips again. Nacho does some really risky pill bottle maneuvers, and Mike digs up something unpleasant in the desert. And Fargo, the Who Rules Land of Denial, where things get mystic, Jewishly mystic. And who won the week?
Oh, you're throwing it to me?
Yeah.
Who won the week? I mean, by a mile, by not even a city block, but a country mile. For me, it's Leftovers.
Yeah, I feel like the degree, like we, our unreasonable faith in a newly found faith in the Lindelof and Parada team up made us maybe not even appreciate the degree of difficulty of having a satisfying ending for the show of The Leftovers. And the fact that they've done it three times now with every season is incredible. Like,
yeah.
It, and maybe that's the secret, because I, you know, going into Mad Men, going into Breaking Bad, going into Justified, I had very clear ideas of what I wanted to see as fans. Whereas The Leftovers, like, I had no idea what I wanted to see. And I'm not sure if that's easier or harder, but it wasn't a sure thing that it would be something that would come to a satisfying climax and conclusion. But I think it did. I think it did. And we spent 2 hours talking about it already.
right. Yeah, I mean, this show is just, you know, it's inexplicably just so good. So good. I can't even tell you what it is necessarily, like the one thing to narrow it down to that says this is why this show is 10 times better than anything else I've seen on TV recently.
Well, I think it's going to be one of those things like Twin Peaks, like Hill Street Blues, like Oz, like Lost, even like Sopranos, that people say this is a creative milestone. People the way Lindelof talks about Lost 20 years on is the way I think people are going to we didn't know you could do this on television. We didn't know that this is something that the general public would swallow something like this, that you could tell a story that just is a mystery about emotional truth, not factual plot truth, and have it work out so beautifully. And because everyone gave a shit about it, from the guy researching the musical choices to the creators of the show, to the writer room, to the actors, to the people shooting it, like just, it was just a quality operation. And I can't think of any other show that has both devastated and uplifted me over the years as consistently as The Leftovers.
Yeah, I mean, just nothing else engages me the way that The Leftovers does.
So that's one, the fact that it felt like the entire time I was watching it, this was important television. Is there a little bit of the hipster effect? The fact that this does feel a little bit like a cult, like they were.
I was listening to some people.
Both Chris and Andy and Alan Sepinwall and his new sidekick on their respective shows were saying it's so weird to see so many critics abuzz, but like in direct opposition to like Mad Men and Breaking Bad, and those are probably the two big like shows that have come kind of wrapped up in the last few years, where like Twitter was just awash during the finale night with just everybody talking about it. He's like, they said that it was weird to only see kind of like our fellow professional TV critics talking about their reviews. Like, there was not a lot of leftovers buzz.
Yeah, not a lot of people watching it either.
And I sometimes, you know, I think everybody's got a little bit of hipster to them, that they like liking a hidden gem that they can be an evangelist for. And, like, you know, mm-hmm. I liked it before, it was cool, and, well, it's just, you know, you don't get it. And I wonder how much of that. I don't seem to be attracted to stuff like that, but the fact that it is a smaller, more intimate, but very passionate audience, I thought was one of the things that took it over the top.
Yeah, I mean, I like that I could engage with this show with the leftovers on the same level as, like, the most passionate fans, because that's certainly not true of, like, a Game of Thrones, right? There are people who are 60 times more passionate than I will ever be about that show.
Yeah.
Even though I love it, I'm not on the same
books,
level as those
you haven't
people,
done,
right?
Like, where this is, for better or worse, 28 episodes of television. It's approachable. Yeah. It's accessible. It's not something you can maybe binge.
So I felt a stronger connection, definitely, to that idea, that community.
And I also like the fact that, like, this show kind of blew up for us. Like, it got to Walking Dead levels in its final season, traffic wise.
It's true.
And when while the last few weeks, especially, was more feedback than I could actually use in the show, it was a comfortable amount to read, and there was nothing like in Game of Thrones. I get an email, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get 12 of these because it's because the, you know, you got 300,000 people listening. Even if 1% of those people sends in a hot take, that's still a lot of people having a hot take about the same stuff.
Right.
But here, like, these takes were, like, you know, super deeply personal.
Yeah.
Like a guy who's survived, like, his dad committed suicide 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. An atheist living in Egypt that, you know, is worried about, like, being uncovered and brought up from charges of apostasy, which are a big deal. We had a kind of unique relationship with this material, too. Like, I felt like every single one I got was, even if I didn't have time to read it, like, I was a better person for reading it, and they were unique, and it felt like a community. It felt like Bald Move 3 or 4 years ago, where I could get my arms around the community.
Right.
You know, whereas, like, Game of Thrones is just like a fire hydrant that hits me, and I'm like, I'm going to try to get...
You get swept down the street in a torrent of water.
I'm going to hold out my Dixie cup and hope I get a couple drops. But it was really fun and satisfying.
I mean, all of that makes this final episode feel that much better.
Yeah.
Because it sort of encapsulates it, you know, and puts this final... just the final mark on what Leftovers is going to be for me. And I think there was really no way, unless the Leftovers just fucked up this last episode and I hated it, that anything else was going to win this week because of all of that baggage.
Yeah. I'll even go so far as, like, I'm not even sure this is the best finale of Leftovers.
Okay.
Because I kind of think...
I could see a case for season two.
I kind of think season two, because... all that stuff was, like, all the internet, all the hotel stuff, all that stuff was brand new. The audaciousness of this was they brought it back again and still somehow made it fresh.
Yeah.
And the Kevin Nora stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not sure, like, that's the thing, like, still, like, almost a week out, I'm not quite sure how. Now there's been, like, have you read a lot of the materials that let...
That's going to be my Monday.
because I have, and there is just some incredible pieces that and interviews with Lindelof that have kind of really deepened my appreciation, and that's where I'm going to be talking the majority of my time on Tuesday when we give it the wrap-up treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Like, it's going to be a while before I tell whether season two or season three is the best finale, but... I don't think it has to be the best finale to be considered a great way to wrap up a show.
Right.
Because this is the only one that – and again, like I talked about on the podcast, some of that is just going to be because I knew it's the end.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't – I was hoping to get more before and expected to get more, where now I just know this is absolute finality and there is no room for any sequels or prequels or not. This is the end with a capital T, capital E.
Yeah, and I mean, that finale wasn't perfect for me either. I think it still easily wins the week, but I had some very big issues with Lori.
Mm. See, I had
the way that turned out.
Yeah.
So, you know, even despite that, I think it won it by a mile.
Not that it's a contest, but I think I like it more than you.
Yeah? Okay. Well,
Leftovers loves me best.
I guess my opinion's not as good.
So let's talk about who won second place.
That's because more interesting.
I think it's Fargo, but not by a country mile. I think it's Fargo by a city block.
Okay.
Because I think Fargo.
Both of which are meant to illustrate longer than average distances.
Well, a country mile is a hell of a lot longer than a city block.
It is, yeah.
But I think that, honestly, I think it would be a country mile, except for that nacho scene where he's trying to swap the pill bottle.
That's the one scene that really stands out.
That's like Hitchcockian. It's been a long time that I felt that much tension for a fairly minor character, too. Mm-hmm. Like, which tells me that as much as I've maybe bitched and moaned about them not developing his plot enough, that the father-son hook they've had in this season really, really roped me in, because I was all in on that scene and I could barely breathe.
Yeah,
I was scared to death of his character that I didn't really give a shit about.
Right.
Until the last two or three episodes.
I'm with you. I think that scene made the episode for me, and without it, it's not even a particularly great episode of Better Call Saul.
Yeah, I thought a lot of the I appreciate where they're trying to go, and I think where they're going is valid, but I think that they, for me, did not quite, on Better Call Saul, did not quite hit all the character beats for Jimmy's descent into Saul, which I think is what they're... I mean, surely, we haven't talked about this, but surely, at the end of this season, we're going to be firmly entrenched in Saul land. There's not going to be...
I would think so, yeah.
They surely can't take another, you know, the renewal of Jimmy's good side.
Yeah.
It feels like things are going into a bad place for him.
Yeah, definitely.
And I wish that there was a little bit more... I can't say skill, because that's dumb. Like, Peter Gould and Vince Gilligan are very skillful in how they tell a story, but their penchant of writing themselves in the corner not always pays off as well as it can. And season two of Breaking Bad is a great example of that. A superior season of television that, for my money, completely falls the fuck apart in the last two episodes.
Right, and I don't have both in this episode of Better Call Saul and with Breaking Bad season two, I don't quite dislike those things as much as you do, although I do see your points on them.
Better Call Saul loves you best.
It does, yes.
Breaking Bad loves you best.
My opinion is better on Better Call Saul. I don't have as much problem, but I do still think it was just, it was just meh. Like, this is more of the similar things we've been seeing throughout the past couple seasons.
And especially,
with Jimmy and
I got as much, and I know you like this better than me, but like, I am really kind of over the 5-minute Mike montage. I remember like totally being sucked into the garden hose.
Yeah, yeah.
And totally being sucked into the sneaker shot. Mm-hmm. And this last him wandering out in the desert with the metal detector, it's like every time they go back to the well, it's like I'm less and less fast. Especially it's tedious this week since I had kind of sussed out the secret.
I didn't view it as one of those mic montages. It was more like just a single shot.
Yeah, but it was five. Like, that whole sequence was 5 minutes long to tell us something that we already knew. And then the other thing is, like, so it's like you could argue the same thing with, like, the body of Drew.
Right.
But that wasn't so much about how they're going to get rid of his body so much as look at the devastation it has brought to everybody except for fucking Jesse Plemons' face. Like, look at Mike, look at Walt, look at Jesse, look at how this has affected them, look how haunted it is. You know, Dave Porter crushing it on the music. This was just, I'm watching Grandpa out in the desert with the metal detector, and oh, he's going to find a corpse. Wow.
Yeah, I just thought there was a little more artistry there, I guess. I like that overhead shot a lot.
Yeah,
a lot of
mics. Yeah.
But so here's the real problem I have is, where do I rank this versus Fargo? Because
have I said that I think Fargo? Yeah, I said
you did,
it's
by a city block.
And I actually now the more I'm talking about it, it might be more of a country mile. Not.
Is there something between the two?
Not a light year like you were talking about Fargo.
It's suburban.
The Leftovers. And I don't even think The Leftovers was a light year better than Fargo. Mm-hmm. I just think that you're right. There's no way I can put Fargo First of all, I don't think it's as good objectively.
Okay. yeah.
But I also, like, even if it worked, there's no fucking way I'm going to give a show that is rounding into its final two episodes the same heft that I give my favorite show possibly of all time. Wrapping up a very solid season, a superior season, and the show entirely. There's just no way.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
But, and the other thing I think that people find shocking is that in previous seasons, I've loved Fargo. Like, I loved the first season of Fargo. And then the Fishnado happened, and it left a really sour, fishy flavor in my that Fargo never really got back until, like, the final two episodes.
Yeah.
I think the snowstorm episode was where, remember that?
Yeah, with Ratchet Numbers.
Speaking of Hitchcockian, and that was really fucking good.
That was.
And then it kind of finished strong from there. Second season was just building up into a powerhouse, and then the UFO landed, and I just, like, I felt like the show shit the bed.
Me too.
And I kind of pretty much checked out on it. This season, we hit the Jewish Purgatory Gehenna bowling alley, and I could tell by the forum threads and by the email that I was getting that people were ready for the old man Aaron rant.
Yep.
I just ate it up, and I talked at length
about
it. For
good reason, I think.
Yeah, and I don't even know myself. Sometimes, like, I don't think it's completely intellectually defensible. I did spend a good time defending it on the Fargo podcast. Listen to that if you want to hear it. But, like, I just feel like instead of being just a left turn out of Albuquerque, no disrespect to Better Call Saul, this felt like something, the more you picked at it, the more interconnected it was with this season of Fargo as a whole, and not just a little Easter egg that they teased and then, like, oh, well, yeah, I guess there's a UFO that's going to save the day. I loved it. I love this last episode, both halves of it.
Yeah, I mean, I really only liked the last half, but I didn't dislike the first half. It's kind of like, I guess what I should do is I should take the two halves that were meh, the one half from Fargo and the one half from Better Call Saul, and throw those out as equal, and then say which one was better in the things that I liked.
I think you're just judging Nacho versus Emmett's mental breakdown. Nacho wins.
And yeah, I mean, to me it does. I thought that was an expertly crafted scene.
Huh.
And those were really the highlights for me in those two episodes. So yeah, I think I would give it to Better Call Saul over Fargo, but they both lose out to the leftovers.
Do you think that...
But it's real close on those other two.
Yeah, and the only other thing that it's different between this Aaron and two seasons ago Aaron was that I have gone through and seen a lot of the weirder Coen Brothers films that things used to be kind of weird and left turn, and now I can see, like, oh, this is the source material that they are giving. I guess I had a much narrower because, like, when going into first season of Fargo, I'd seen Fargo, I'd seen Raising Arizona, I'd seen Oh Brother Where Art Thou, I'd seen
The Big Lebowski,
I've seen Burn After Reading. At their most whimsical, none of them were, like, you know, really that crazy. Like, yeah, Raising Arizona had the weird biker devil guy, you know, Brother Where Art Thou. But now that I've seen, you know, A Serious Man and the Man Who Knew Too Much, or I haven't liked them all, but, like, I now see that the Coen Brothers catalog is a lot broader and it has a lot more room for this just kind of nonsensical crazy, and they like to play with, you know, like Eric said in the first season when he did the Fargo File stuff, that they do like to play with these, you know, not on the nose supernatural things, but the hint of the supernatural, that, like, God and the devil seems like they're just in the margins of a lot of this stuff. And I guess I've made my peace with that.
Okay.
That helps.
Yeah. So I guess runner up and loser for us are different, but the winner is the winner.
Yep.
And that's the leftovers.
Big question is, where does Who Wins the Week go for the final two weeks? Is it just the mano a mano Fargo versus...
I guess so.
Better Call Saul. Do we want to? Because I mean
that rounds it out nicely because they both have the same amount of episodes left. So
I might throw, I might throw some of the other stuff I'm watching into the ring. Like I might throw, I might talk about American Gods or Handmaid's Tale or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
In on that, it's just like, I guess and then when I don't even know what's going on besides Game of Thrones during Game of Thrones season. But this is what I'm getting at is this isn't going to be a recurring segment. This was like kind of unique. We kind of did this on the shows the last time. Leftovers, Better Call Saul, and Fargo people went head to head. And it just pissed people off because it was usually Fargo because it came later in the week and Fargo only won 1 or 2 weeks and it was a bummer.
Yeah, so they didn't like hearing that they lost. They also didn't want to hear spoilers for other shows sometimes. Right. So like,
but everybody likes the arbitrary ranking of shit so you can argue about it and bitch and moan about it. So that's fun. So unless we have another thing like where like all this peak television comes to a head and does a back-to-back shootout, then we won't do this. But Bald Move TV will definitely continue to be a thing. Like Cecily and I are going to do, I can't remember if it's like 1 or 2 more episodes. I think it's 2 more episodes of Handmaid's Tale. I have no idea how many episodes of American God. I have no idea where at what point in the season. I'm just watching that as a fan that knows nothing about it. And it's kind of refreshing.
Yeah, it can be.
Like, I'm not doing extra reading. I'm reading what people are saying on the forum threads, but only the non-book spoiler. I definitely want to read the book when it's done, but, like, I'm just letting that wash over me, and I'm loving the hell out of American Gods. And that's it. Unfortunately, I guess the other thing, I don't want to talk about House of Cards or Orange is the New Black, other than we're not covering either of them this year.
Yeah, I suppose this is the year
where we ought to record a brief mention of that on their
feeds.
So people don't sit there and wait for them. But there we go. That is who won the week. If you have, I don't know how in the hell you would have gotten this far in the week without being aware of it, but we're doing a push to do a Bald Move survey. And I don't have a special link for this one because this is not show specific. But if you go to the show notes for Bald Move Television this week, this episode, there's a link to click on it. And it just takes a couple minutes of your time. It is anonymous. We don't collect your email. It's just a bunch. It's a bunch of ways that we're trying to figure out how we can make Bald Move better, make more people happy. And there's a little bit of demographics there that are anonymized to help us sell advertising in the future. And if you could help us out by taking that survey, again, the link is in the show notes. Or if you want to do, the only reason we're splitting them into different shows is that's a little bit additional metadata because we can split. It's the same survey, but we can filter the results by which show link you use. So we can see, like, try to draw generalizations between the different audiences. And we're going to do that through the rest of the year. Better Call Game of Thrones when it comes out and all our other shows, we're going to have a specialized link and we're going to collect that throughout the rest of 2017. Probably stuff we funnel back into our Empire Business podcast too. We'll probably have a Survey Says episode of that where we kind of review that for the diehards want to know behind the scenes stuff about Bald Move. Mm-hmm. Anyway, if you'd like to send in feedback, you can do so tv@baldmove.com. Argue about it on the forums, forums.baldmove.com. We'll be back next week to talk about who won the week between the two and maybe some more Silicon Valley. But that will be next week. Until then, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Jim.
Have a good weekend.